Hello, Middle Age Gamers. Welcome back to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the last episode of the year. So before we get started, Happy New Year. I know 2023 is looking to be a mixed year, but don't worry, we've still got lots of games. As someone else talked about, they said all the games that were delayed in 2022 are going to be coming out in 2023. Like we talked about Forspoken before this year. We talked about Starfield, of course, this year as well. So keep an eye out for those games. It's going to be a good gaming year if it might not be a It might be a bad gaming year for everything else, but this day and this year and this day, we here are celebrating the games we love, the games a lot of people didn't love, but we loved even more. And then we talk about the games we are looking forward to 2023. We're going to skip what we've been playing. I think we'll probably catch up with that next week. But before we get started, don't forget to subscribe. Hit the bell notification icon, right? Because we are going to figure out some time to dive deep into our analytics. We appreciate all the shorts of love we've been getting. So if you are a shorts viewer and you're watching this on the shorts, thank you so much for that. Please subscribe to our shorts as well, because we'll be coming out with a minimum of 3 shorts a week forever in 2023. And maybe that's also something we can talk about next week as well. But anyway, let's get started. Let's talk about the games we loved this year. And Adam is going first. Adam, what is the game you have loved it this year?
All right. My first game is... Let's go up here. And it's going to be Horizon Forbidden West. So this game, obviously, it came out earlier this year. Probably, I believe it was around February. But yeah, it came out on my birthday. I remember that now. So yeah, I really enjoyed this game. Now, I will admit, I have not played God of War, and I have not played Elden Ring. I know this is usually the third one in that tier. A lot of people are like, oh, Elden Ring number one, God of War number two. Maybe a Plague Tale. But no, I really enjoyed it. I did feel like the game, I did feel like the plot jumped the shark, I guess would be the best way to say that. Kind of, it just felt like they maybe went too big too fast. I felt like maybe they should have maybe not had so many plot things thrown in and whatnot. But overall, the gameplay was really solid. I really enjoyed all the new machines. I really enjoyed seeing all that. So yeah, this was my game of 2022.
I've got lots of questions. Like, this is totally surprising for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because you played so much this year. And, like, when we were talking about Horizon Forbidden West, yes, I always get confused. When we were talking about Horizon Forbidden West, I was like, I didn't feel like the way you and Anton talked about Forbidden Zero. No. Zero Dawn?
Yep. Zero Dawn.
That's when you and Anton talked about Zero Dawn, I'm like, okay, these guys really love Zero Dawn. But I felt like you guys echoed what the internet echoed, which is that this is a very good game. It's still not as good as the original.
No, the story is not as good as the original. The original one was really solid, really compact. This one, it felt like there was, like I said, it felt like the story jumped the shark in a way, or it just went too big. For example, the first one really closed out the story of Elizabeth Sobeck. And that felt like it was done. And so it felt like they didn't really need to address her in this game. They could finally allow Aloy to grow into her own. But instead, they just tie everything back to Elizabeth Sobeck again. And it's kind of why we have her story. We don't need that. That was unnecessary. It just seems like a crutch at this point. And then they had the whole thing with the new Zenas coming back. And that was cool because there was rumors that when the first game came out, they said, oh, this thing blew up. And I even said before the game came out, I was like, I bet you the Odyssey didn't blow up. I bet you something happened and it's going to involve that. And it did. That prediction by a lot, myself and other fans, was correct. But the way they did it just didn't really make a lot of sense. Their technology is just leagues above everything that this world has. But they were alone on a single spaceship for 1,000 years or whatever, but Gaia on Earth had been developing technology equally as long and had far more resources to do it with, but their technology just completely outclassed Gaia, and their technology was also built off of an AI. So why is it that their AI was just so much more powerful than the one on Earth? And that didn't make a lot of sense. And they just threw a lot of, there were a lot of political kind of leanings in some of the characters that they kept introducing that kind of felt like, okay, yeah, they do feel like they're forcing certain viewpoints down your throat, which could have been done, I feel, a lot more tastefully, subtly. So it did feel like they were really pushing too much into this. And then also at the end, basically, it comes out and it's, okay, now everybody has access to this technology that Gaia has been developing. Everybody has access to what we've recovered from these people. We have Apollo back. everybody and their mom has a Focus these days. It's like, from this game to the next one, how could you not develop into a world where everybody's using guns? It's just the way they ramped up. Basically, they just dumped all this exposition out. And now it's the enemy that they're going to fight is this super AI that's able to take other programs and turn them into AIs. Hephaestus is running wild. And it just seemed like too much. So the game itself is really solid. It's a lot of fun. But the plot felt like it did not hold up to Forbidden West, or it did not hold up to Zero Dawn. But it's still really fun to play.
It's for me, it was exactly the same feeling I had for Last of Us 2 compared to 1. Very fun to play, just doesn't match up to the first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You put it at your top pick. For me, it's definitely in my top 5. It's still very fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was also limiting myself to games that came out this year. Otherwise, Death Stranding might have made my number one. But because Death Stranding came out a few years ago and I played it late, I did not include that one. So I wouldn't say it was my favorite game I played this year, but it was my favorite game that came out this year that I played.
Agreed.
Okay, let's move on to Antoine's favorite game of 2022.
Yes, so as I said, Horizon was in the top 5, but my top one, I would say, was Tales of Arise. I really like RPGs. I was really disappointed with FF15. In my top 5, you'll have Scarlet Nexus, but I compare to Tales of, I think it was missing. It didn't have, I don't know, Tales of Arise had a certain appeal, and I was really happy because usually I'm a big fan of the Tales of Saga franchise. And for the past few games, they needed a breath of fresh air, really fresh air, because when Berseria came out, I played it and I was like, that's the best they can do with this franchise. I don't see how they can do better. And then you get to Rise and like, ah, no, okay, sorry, mea culpa, they can do better. And they really did. And they made a mix, which I guess for hardcore fans is maybe not, it feels like a very good Tales of. And sometimes they are trying to take it to another direction with much more cinematics, much more story driven. It has always been story driven, but here you can really see the emphasis on all the cutscenes. Way more consistent than any other games. No, honestly, for me, it was the best game ahead, easily ahead of Scarlet Nexus, which was another RPG like this coming out in 2022, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, you're right.
This, and I had, as a runner-up, it's not in the same genre, but something that I really had fun as well was Sniper Elite 5. Just doesn't make it the top spot because it's much shorter. And it's the kind of game that you have 3 hours to waste and you don't want to start another, I don't know, like a Witcher or whatever, something which will last hundreds of hours. You can just start Sniper Elite, do a 3-hour mission, and your stress is relieved. And it's very fun in that way. But it doesn't take the top spot because really this year, thing, Tales of Arise is really the good.
What was the best part about it that you liked, Antoine?
The story was really well made. The combat, because they always reuse the base of the combat that they have been creating since Symphonia 25 years ago. And it's always evolving while having the same base with Artes. And every time I really find that they really nail the combat. And when there's a good story and a good gameplay which goes with it, and for me, that's all I need. That's where, for me, Scarlet Nexus is less good, is that I didn't enjoy the story as much as Arise, and the combat wasn't as good. But again, that's a very... They took different roads. So I'm not sure I can compare the combat in between both, but still I have more fun fighting in Arise. So for me, that would be the comparison.
And Anton, what system did you play Arise on? Was it on PC or PlayStation?
PC. PC with pad.
All right, Adam, have you ever played the Tales of Arise series?
No, I haven't played any of the Tales games. I've always wanted to, but it keeps falling further and further in the backlog.
All right, very cool. Then we'll move on to my favorite game of 2022. And I will say did I propose this topic or did Adam propose this topic?
You proposed it.
You did.
Oh, God. So when I proposed this topic, I'm like, oh, God, the problem is I don't remember what I played this year, nor do I remember what game didn't get enough love. So I just sat in front of my computer looking at my Steam collection, opening up my Epic Games, looking at that collection, opening up my Nintendo Switch account, looking at the games I own there. And I'm like, okay, come back to me, memories, come back to me. And they eventually did. But I went with my instinct, and the game that I enjoyed most this year, and I was very surprised, was Disney's Starlight Valley, Dreamlight Valley. God, I can't remember the name correctly. But yes, it was such a, because there are two games which I have played early that were like were really successful. One was Warframe, which my friend and I, Hans, started way back 10 years ago when it was just 500 people playing Warframe on the closed beta. And they sold Faunus packs and I bought this as a Faunus pack. I'm like, cool, I'll probably get a few good hours out of this. And I think I ended up playing like 40 hours, something like that. And this is just, it's an early open beta. And it's just, it's well done. It looks good. There was never a time where like, oh my God, I need to buy this premium currency. Even in Warframe, not the first year or 2 years, but after about the second year of Warframe, you were buying Warframe's premium currency because as working, busy people, you don't have time to grind stuff. But this game, like you could totally play. In 40 hours, I played and I never had to buy anything. It's just fun. And the characters and stuff, even as a 1040 last week, right? Even as a 40-year-old man, it's still like nice, bright. Like all the people you grew up with, if you had cousins or you're watching Little Mermaid and then 1992 when you were a kid, right? All that stuff is in here. It's voiced with probably not the original voice actors, but with people whose voices are pretty damn close, including Mickey Mouse. Fun. It's since Stardew Valley came out, since Harvest Moon became a thing. And then Stardew Valley made it more popular, and you can fight me on that one. Farming games and these sort of work as life games have become a thing. And then Disney's with, not even Disney exactly, is the partner, Disney partner, which is Game NetEase. It's not NetEase, it's somebody else. One of these free-to-play game companies. And they made it a really, really fun game. And I would imagine like they could have gone this horrible play-to-win direction or play-to-get-everything direction, but they didn't. And it's just... it's absolutely fun. I would recommend you buying it. They've already released like two bunches of content since I first talked about it on the podcast. Go back and listen to those episodes as well. But yeah, easily my favorite game for this year. I'm going to wait a few months because I should have waited until this had more content. And then I will probably jump in and play this again, probably in summer next year, maybe.
You mentioned a few podcasts ago that there was maybe a problem of, let's say, balance, growing your characters up if you picked the wrong way to grow them up with cooking and stuff like this. Was it balanced or?
Good memory, because I haven't played this again. But yeah, that is a good point in that you need to level up these characters. So now I haven't looked in, but I will probably do another report on this. Summer. I haven't actually seen anything about it, but I imagine a lot of people who play this early access, they played up to a point like I did. Okay, this is good enough. And then they'll probably take a break. I think like most people who start off with an early access game, like you did my time at Sandrock, right? You played a bunch. It was fun. You'll come back to it once there's more content in a year later, maybe when you're in the mood.
Exactly. Because they released some new content, but you know what? Let's wait for the official release. I have it anyway, so.
Exactly. Okay, everyone, I hope you enjoyed everyone's favorite games of 2022. Stay tuned. We're going to move on to Adam's game that did not receive enough love, maybe a game you can consider picking up on a sale, or maybe a game you can support and buy at full price, or buy the, there's always extra supreme deluxe editions of these games available as well. Keep an eye out for those. Adam, what is a game? It's so cool that I remember you posted your games, but I've already forgotten. So I get to be so surprised now.
I went with Dusk Diver 2. So I played the original Dusk Diver when it came out, mostly because it was a Taiwanese game. And I was like, oh yeah, locally made. This is going to be awesome. And I played it and it was pretty good. It was a brawler. There were a few issues that I didn't really like. For example, one thing was the way the gameplay worked is you would do missions and then you would get a grade at the end of your mission. And you had to, pretty much every mission was based on speed. So if you wanted to get the highest grade, you had to do the missions really fast. But all the missions were repeatable. So it was okay, but that I didn't really enjoy. But this game, they definitely fixed that. They fixed definitely everything across the board on Dustdivers 2 is an improvement over 1. 1 was a lot of fun. This one is a whole lot of fun. So if you're into those kind of brawler games, the old Streets of Rage, that sort of thing, then, you know, this is a 3D version of those. Basically, some of the changes that they've made from the first one are that you can now control multiple characters. So in the first one, you always control Yang Yumo, who's the girl, the main character, and she can utilize the powers of the other characters. So she can summon them in game and they'll do some sort of attack, or she can use their power in some way. In this one, she can still call on them to help her out, but she has her own set of tricks. She has her own set of combos and everything. And then you have all the other characters and you can swap to them on the fly. So you can play as the other characters if you wish. You have more melee focused. You have more AoE focused. You have more ranged focused characters. And they all have their own unique combos and, you know, ultimate attacks and everything. I basically pretty much played exclusively as, but there's still a lot of fun. It was good being able to switch through that. You can level them up individually, and the whole mission ranking system thing is gone, which for me is great because I felt like that was always stressful. You're like, ah, I gotta get top rank on this level. Oh, this is so irritating. You just miss it and you're like, I gotta do the whole thing again. This time it's just every time you fight, it'll give you a little rank at the end. It'll say, oh, this was your time. This is your highest combo. And based on that, this is how much experience you're going to get. There's no ranking. It's just you can just if you do better, you get more stuff, basically. So that was really great. They do have they do allow you to do a little more world exploration, running around the world a little bit more. They added new areas. In the first one, you were basically only pretty much in Ximending, which is in Taipei. In this one, you can go to Ximending, but you can also go to other places in Taipei. So that's really great. And then they kept all the good stuff of the old games. One of the things, when we were going to do Thanksgiving, we ended up not doing it, but we were going to do, was it Food and Games? And this one was the game that I was going to play because you can go around, and when they made the game, they went around Ximending in the area. They went to food stalls. They went to restaurants. Those are all in the game. And you can go to these restaurants and they will have food from the menu that you can order, and it'll give you special bonuses based on what you eat. And if you ever come to Taiwan, you could actually go to those places and order those dishes. So I thought that was really cool that they added a little bit of local flavor. Yeah, really enjoyed this.
And what do you think this game did not receive enough love? Was it a pro marketing budget? Was it just because it was made in Taiwan or not released in enough places or not released in enough consoles?
I think it's just the fact that it's not a AAA. This is probably a single or even double A game. From the people that played it, the people that played the original one, it's pretty popular. I think it did maybe a little bit better on Switch than it did on other consoles. But I saw somebody doing a gameplay of it on Switch, and I will say that on Switch it definitely looks downgraded from what I was playing on my PS5. They only have a PS4 version of the game, but even the PS4 version looks way better than the Switch version did. Just a lot smoother. I saw a little bit like a little janky lines and whatever. But yeah, I think it's just niche. Brawlers aren't, especially single player, aren't really big right now. I think most of the games you're either going to get are going to be multiplayer, or they're going to be from a really big studio. From Software is relatively big. They've been around for a long time. They have a lot of games under their belt. I was at Santa Monica Studio. Huge studio, right? So most of these games are made by much bigger publishers and whatnot. This one's, it really is an indie game. So I think it just didn't have the exposure.
Very cool. Okay, let's move on to Antoine's game that did not receive enough love this year.
Yes, so again, it's coming from a saga which is not very known. Coming from Square Enix, big publisher, big video game creator, it's Tactics Ogre. So back in my youth, I used to play a lot of Ogre Battle with a friend of mine who was completely crazy about tactics game. And I didn't use this at all, but since he was really fan of the genre, he made me play it, and it was actually very good. There were 7 games in this series. I only know Ogre Battle. And this Tactics Ogre Reborn was released November, so not too long ago. Basically, no one knows about it. At least I don't know many people who heard about it. And it's really cool because there's a lot of political issue. If you, so I'm going to assume I'm talking to middle-aged gamer and you all know what Shukoden is, but it's a bit Shukoden-like in terms of politics with rebellions and things like this. And it's an old school tactical. So if you're thinking, yeah, I love tacticals. I played XCOM, I played Mario versus Rabbids, I played Fire Emblem. Yeah, okay. So put them aside and look at the video because you will see on that screen, it's old school. It's Final Fantasy Tactics, for instance. And that's why this one, I think, was never well known much, I think, is because Final Fantasy Tactics, coming from Square Enix as well, was way more popular because there was Final Fantasy in front of it, I guess. While Ogre Battle, I think, at least in this one, Tactics Ogre, is much better. It's really fun. And I haven't played this one yet, but my friend who was crazy about it played this one and said, it's everything that I dreamed for 20 years. It's fantastic, and they really nailed it, and it's really good. So this is on my list for next year.
Adam, you played a version of this, right? Not Tactics Ogre Reborn, but you played Tactics Ogre again this year.
Yeah, I played it last year and through this year. I played Tactics Ogre Let Us Cling Together, which is the remake, and this is the re-remake. This is the third version of the game. The original one was, I believe, on PlayStation, or was it N64?
Oh, way before that.
The original Tactics Ogre, I think, was... Because there's Tactics Ogre, Tactics Ogre Battle, and then there's...
There was Famicom, the Lady in Black, or something like this.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. But this one, particular one, I think, was from the original PlayStation, I think. But
yeah, I think.
Yeah, but I played Let Us Cling Together. There were issues that I had with the game that this one seemed to address. For instance, I did not like the fact that you level up your classes rather than characters. That was really frustrating for me, especially because you start off with maybe a knight and some archers and some other things. And since you're using those from the beginning, they're leveling up from the beginning. You get about halfway through the game, you get a character who's a ninja, you now have access to the ninja class, but all your ninjas are level 1. So, you know, you're fighting level 20 enemies, you're level 20, and then your ninja's running around at level 1 and they get one shot. And you have to basically, yeah, if you want to level a class, you have to take that class into battle, send them to the back. Basically, you're gimping yourself because you're one man short, and then you have to win, and then they have to get experience that way. And you have to grind it out to get them to level, but as you're doing that, all the characters you're using to level that character are also being leveled, which is therefore leveling up your enemies as well, because they're matching your overall level. So it was very tedious trying to do that. Now the characters are leveled individually. So if you have a character who's level 20, you can switch them to the ninja class and they'll be a level 20 ninja. So for me, that was way better. I think it still has the problem, from what I've heard, of if you get a new character, that character might start at level 1, and so that character is weak, but you can still access all the different classes. So for me, that was a huge improvement. I've also heard mixed things on the voice acting. Some people don't like it. They like the traditional, just text only, but I heard that you can turn that off.
Voice acting is, I heard it in English, honestly. It was pretty good.
I think people who had played the original were like, oh, this is so weird. I don't, like this old classic game with voice acting. It just feels off. It just feels wrong. Like this shouldn't exist. Yeah, but I think you can turn the voice acting off if you want that more of a classical experience.
Yes, for middle age gamer really, because for young people will want the voice acting. And just to quickly finish, because I never follow the rule, of course, I have a runner-up very quick and I didn't upload the video, so you won't see it. But just to tell you, you will hear me scream very often at Games Workshop saying that they are selling the Warhammer franchise to anyone, and usually the Warhammer game are really annoying crap. It's a small game. It's really, there's no pretension behind it. It's absolutely fantastic. I saw it on a stream last week and I was like, yeah, green skin, soccer, boys, and orcs. It's absolutely fantastic. It's quite short and you should really have fun with it. I don't think it's lacking love. I think it's lacking ambition. So not too many people know about it, but you can go ahead. It's fantastic. I think Korean knows what I'm talking about.
It's a good game. I've heard good things about it as well. I didn't realize it was short, but it makes sense for that style of game to be relatively short. Okay, let's move on to my game, which I believe did not receive enough love. And again, because for me, I don't mind playing 10 versions of the same game. It's all good. I like repetition. Having the same haircut for the last 20 years will actually speak to that. My game that did not receive enough love was Far Cry 6. You probably might have guessed or not have guessed, but yeah, I enjoyed this a lot. I did not finish it at that time because I've gotten over the fact of needing to finish games for a few years, but it was fun. It was just like straight up action, shooting, going to places, all the stuff that Ubisoft is very famous for, that people were like, okay, come on, do something new. I'm like, no, do not, just keep it the same. And I guess that is why I think there's definitely a large group, or sizable group of people who say, okay, we want innovation in our gaming. We just don't want it to look pretty and stuff. And this stuff works. It's optional. It's a mix. It's a great thing for busy people where, okay, I get to do this side mission that's going to take me 5 minutes, or I get to do this mission that's going to take me 30 minutes. And acting is good. The atmosphere is good. All the sort of Spanish music or Cuban music as you're driving around in a car was just so cool and relaxing. And all the stuff I like, the options to go silently or the options to go in full force. And this, like, in a year when it comes to gaming, I don't know any other game that does this besides Far Cry games, right? Like, even going back to the very first original Far Cry game back in the early 2000s, right? There's never been another game that does this the way Far Cry does it. And I guess that is why I believe this is a game that people were far too critical of, because they believe after you get past 3, you have to have innovation in games. And I think that's not true. There's always going to be a large group of people who just like it for what it is. And if there's nobody else doing the same thing in this category of gaming, then you're fine. You don't need to do anything else, because it's fine. It satisfies some people, satisfies me. And that's all that matters. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, if you haven't played it, I would highly recommend it. Definitely get it on sale. It was supremely fun. It is a game that I've been thinking about a shooting game, going back to playing a shooting game, and I'll probably play this before I get into, I've had Deathloop on my backlog for forever, but I'll probably play this before Deathloop, just because it's a game where even if you haven't played it for 6 months, you get in, press your WASD, you have your left mouse, right click for zoom, and you're in. There's no complicated learning procedure, which I will complain about next week. Okay, and let's move on to our last category for today, is games we are looking forward to in 2023, possibly our game of the year for 2023 or favorite games of 2023. And Adam, what are you looking forward to next year?
I am looking forward to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is going to be the second in the Final Fantasy VII Remake series. So I'm going to be lucky this year. I'm getting a lot of games. I'm getting Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm getting Final Fantasy XVI. I'm getting Forspoken. But out of all of them, this is the one that I am most excited for.
Good question.
Yes.
In the Final Fantasy series, where does Rebirth come after?
Comes after Remake.
Remake. So like the remake that came this year.
No, the remake that came last year or the year before. Or
2020, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and then it's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, and then there's a third
and
one.
What comes? Oh, what's the third one?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry, keep going.
It was Integrated in the middle.
Integrated was the DLC for Remake.
Oh, okay.
To explain for people who are unfamiliar with Final Fantasy VII, such as Korean, what's going on here? We have the original Final Fantasy VII that came out in 1998, and that is the OG Final Fantasy VII. When it was announced that they were going to remake the game, a lot of people were very excited, because we've been wanting a graphical update on Final Fantasy VII, because the original one doesn't hold up graphically. It's funky looking. It has its own charm, but it doesn't look good. It didn't age well, and it in fact aged worse than older games in the series that were pixel art. So we've been wanting a remake for a really long time. But Final Fantasy VII is probably one of, if not the most popular Final Fantasy out there. So there, it has a lot of extra content. It has Dirge of Cerberus. It has Crisis Core. It has Ever Crisis. And these all just added to the story. So when this game, when Remake came out, a lot of people were really excited. They're like, all right, now they're going to tie everything up together. And instead, they actually made a sequel. Spoiler alert. So if you have played the original one, then you're going to see a lot of parallels between this one, but this one is a second timeline. So things are not necessarily going to happen exactly as they happen in the first, and they do address the fact that certain things are in fact different. People that die in the original one don't die in this one, for example. And because of that, we don't know. One of the big things was fighting fate. They defeated fate at the end of the first game. So now everything's up in the air and they're no longer tied to the timeline. So we're going to see where they go. So it'll be interesting to see how much they deviate. When it first came out, myself and a lot of other people were very disappointed that they didn't stick with the original one. We were very unhappy about that. We really did want a true remake. We didn't want it to go in new directions necessarily. We want an expansion of the lore, not new directions with the lore. But I've had enough time to go through my stages of grief, and I've processed that, and now I have accepted it for the sequel that it is, and now I'm excited again. Yeah.
Good.
And when is it coming out next year?
Early next year, I think. First quarter one or quarter two, I think.
Okay. Okay. And this will be just on PS5.
Yeah, just on PS5. Okay. It will come to PC, I think, 6 months later. I think it's the same deal that they had with the original one. The original one still has not come to Xbox, which is very disappointing because I think a lot of people would really love it on Xbox. Personally, for me, I think the timed exclusivity is too... I've said this before. I don't really like the idea of exclusivity unless it's something that's truly exclusive, like Halo, that's fine. If it's something you've built from the ground up, Ghost of Tsushima, that's fine. But if it's something that fans on a different platform have had before, I think that they should not have to lose access to that. So, because they're already fans, they're already invested. I think it's a shady practice to, you know, get somebody into something and then take it away from them and then be like, okay, now you have to pay extra to get it back. You have to pay for a whole new console to get this back. I don't like that policy. So I'm not a fan of the exclusivity. The timed exclusivity, I'm not really a fan of. And this one, I will say, I do feel it's okay with this one just because Final Fantasy VII was a huge seller of the PlayStation. So I feel like there is a very special relationship between Final Fantasy VII and the PlayStation. However, I would say a month would be optimal for timed exclusivity. 2 months tops, because people that are big fans, they're going to finish it in a couple weeks. Giving them that month exclusivity, I think, is be enough. So I don't like that, but. What are you going to do?
Very cool. Just to remind everyone, if you're watching, you're listening, if you agree or disagree with anything, don't forget to let us know on the usual social media. Antoine, what is your game you're looking forward to next year?
So no surprise, because we talked a lot about it, but Starfield for me is the big expectation and hopefully not the big disappointment, because basically it's Bethesda, it's Skyrim, it's Fallout, and for me, I want Starfield to be Skyrim in space like everyone else. I want this game to start in 2023 and not die in 2033 like Skyrim does, being this mostly modded game that you can play forever and ever like you can do on Skyrim. This is what I want from Bethesda, even if it's Bugdesta. We know that's going to be bugged. That's okay. Take a year or two to fix it. But I really want a game that, like Skyrim, keep you for quite a while. Fallout didn't have the same longevity, but still good story, good gameplay. That's my cat sneezing behind me. That's all right. So that's really what I'm expecting, and I'm hoping not to be disappointed. We don't want another Fallout 78. So that's basically, you know, what I'm praying for.
What system do you plan getting this on?
Or computer.
Very cool. And do you want to tell our listeners and viewers an estimated release date from what the last thing you've heard?
Sometime this year with delays.
I believe it's March, isn't it? Sometime? Is it 23?
Yes, exactly. It's supposed to be March, but will it be released or not? We'll see. Again, I'd rather for them to take 2 or 3 more months to, first of all, avoid the crunch, as we know that developers in crunch, it doesn't mix. And I want to have a good game from the start, which I'm not going to buy from the start because it never works day one. So no point buying it in March, guys. Wait for this summer. I'm sure they're going to get some Steam sale. You know what? Get it on Steam sale for Halloween or something. Like 6 months after, there's going to be a lot of patch. It's going to be fixed out. That would be a good timeline.
Alternatively, just like I saw the trailer, Adam put on get an Xbox Game Pass. If I believe the family Game Pass will be rolling out next year, I'm hoping, because I know it's only available in Colombia and Ireland at the moment. So you pay like a Netflix fee, you get 4 users or 5 users and you're set, right? So I will probably be doing Game Pass as soon as it's available for family. I'll be doing Game Pass, and I'm looking forward to that. So then it'll be me, my brother, yeah, and my other brother, and then that'll be good enough. And you get to play day one games.
Exactly. Good point. I have Game Pass, so I will not buy it. I will have it on my Game Pass day one.
Yes. Antoine, we'll have to start streaming again next year and tell Cisco, sorry, give me more time off so I can play some Starfield.
So it says Starfield first half of 2023 and Final Fantasy VII Remake is the back half of 2023.
Okay. Let's pray that all these deadlines are met. All right. And I will end things off relatively quickly because we have
tactics missing.
2 minutes left in this call. The game I'm looking forward to next year, and I thought a lot about this. I was telling the guys before the call and the sort of pre-call chat, is I was thinking about Warhammer Space Marine 2 because I loved Space Marine 1, and Space Marine 1 was just awesome with the jump pack and the Thunderhammer, and that's all, literally all. The only thing, as soon as I do just that single thing in Space Marine 2, I'll be satisfied, even if I paid $70 for the game, which is looking like what PC games are going to cost, catching up to the PlayStation 5 in 2023. But no, I'm like, okay, that's an obvious choice. So the game I chose is Superfuse, which is only releasing in early access next year. Superfuse, for people like middle-aged gamers, right? People who grew up in the 90s or born in the 80s, is a game very similar to an old PC game, or it could have been a PlayStation game, actually. I'm not exactly sure. It was called Freedom Force, which is like a comic book-styled superhero game back in the day. And I love superheroes and DC and even Marvel, but Marvel's always going to be number two for me. Yes, I'm sorry, Marvel fans. But yeah, no, if you can see the trailer that Adam has wonderfully put together in today's video, it's your superhero in this world. Like, only the elite people have superpowers, but you get superpowers and you get to fight and have this wonderful talent tree system that's very similar to the RPG game that is made in New Zealand that is like Diablo. You guys know what I'm talking about? No, free-to-play game made in New Zealand. Oh God, so many YouTubers play it, but it has, anyway, you guys watching this or listening to this in the box, yes, I know what it is. Anyway, it has this expansive skill system that you can combine stuff. You can make like your own custom superhero, cute superhero. And again, this is only going to be in early access next year, so I can imagine this system is going to be even more fleshed out by the time the game is released. But it, just have a look at the art. It's cell shaded. It has the usual comic book panels as well in the game, which is going to make it look really cool. So this is a game most likely I will buy on early access. Again, I might even buy it early, like even before, like when Steam allows you to pre-purchase an early access game, I will probably even do that as well. But this is something I think is going to be unique. It's going to be different. It's going to fill that superhero itch that we've had for the last decade of Marvel and DC movies. So definitely something for you guys to keep an eye out for in 2023. It is. Okay, and with that, since we are running a bit low on time, guys, any plans for this last week of gaming?
Yeah, Frozen Flame. They released the patch and I'm...
Nice.
Yeah, I offered myself Total War Warhammer 3 with Boxing Day. So yeah, I'm going to start this again on the massive giant map of Empire. That's going to be fun.
But when are you going to start, Anton?
Oh, whenever I have time. Next week, maybe? Not even sure.
So just like in 2023, that's going to be the first game you're playing?
Oh, yeah. It will be. Absolutely.
Okay, next week. Because I just were like, yeah, next week is 2023.
Exactly. Okay.
And for me, yeah, I have been playing the game Eternal Threads, which I will talk about next week, which is not what I expected, and I want to quit it, but it's an interesting philosophical game anyway. All right, guys, so thank you very much for 2022 in gaming, especially Adam taking over duties as executive producer of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast. Without him, we would not have the show. Anton, for bringing the European, French, and lots of other viewpoints, even though he's still like Adam's French brother from another mother, I believe, in PlayStation stuff when it comes to all that stuff. Oh, God. And yep. We will see you guys next year for more Middle Age Gaming, more games, more a lot of everything. And maybe we'll talk about some plans next year for 2023. And then we'll catch up with you guys later.
See you guys later.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!